Okay, Perek Nun Dalif Pasuk Yud Aleph Aniya Sara Lo Nuchama. And this is a very disturbing pasuk. Aniya Sara. Sara is a word that is reserved for a ship, right? A ship at sea that is tossed about by the wind. Sara. It's a Gilgan Island type of word. What? Okay, I agree. Okay, I'm not coming to argue. Obviously, it is. Maybe Adraba.
A windstorm.
What?
A windstorm.
But I don't. For some reason, my impression is, maybe I'm totally wrong. I have very limited knowledge of Hebrew language. But I don't know. For some reason, Sara is a word that refers to a ship. A ship is at sea, and it's tossed about by winds and the waves. It's what exactly does the Mitzvah say for the word? There is no word. The Mitzvah doesn't say a word here. No, it doesn't translate the word. Interesting. Okay, but it's not. But so then, if that would be the correct word, so then you'd assume it would say Aniya with an Aleph. Aniya with an Aleph is a ship, but it doesn't say with a ship with an Aleph. It says with an Ayin, and there's no one that disagrees that it's simple as can possibly be that it means to a poor person Aniya. The feminine form that we're referring to Yerushalayim, to Tzion. Tzion here is being described as a poor person, a poor woman that doesn't have what to eat, and she has no Yishuv Hadas. So Ara, she is like a ship that is at sea, that has been tossed and turned by the strong winds and waves and current of the water. So, I mean, just an interesting idea that would play, it appears to play on the word. Aniya really would be with an aleph, because that would fit better with the word so'ara. But we're not doing that. We're writing with an ayin. And when there's an ayin, it cannot possibly refer in any way or form to a ship. It refers to a person that is poor. In this case, a female that is poor, that has been tormented. So Sarah is now going to be a borrowed term. Turn like little number two. Does you know? Look, Aniya Sarah. Al Yishlam Yama Shiya Kaniya Mar Edes. That is that it's tormented. Kimi Ruach Sarah, like a stormy wind. Ve'in Mi Lenachman. There's no one to give her comfort. Lo Nuchama. This poor woman that has been that is in a state of torment. Lo Nuchama. There is no one that is willing. No one is capable of giving her comfort. Hinei Anochi, and then the Pasuk of the Hashem says, although it's true that no one is able to give her comfort, Hashem says, I will give her comfort. And the way I will give her comfort is with the following expression, Hinei Anochi Marbitz, Papuch Avonayich, I will lay out the sand. Papuch means a certain type of sand that was used as a foundation for expensive stones. Do you ever lay out tiles in your home, in the bathroom, or in any type of environment, so you don't just put the expensive mosaic tiles on the ground. You first have to put down a foundation. You have to put down sand. You have to put down a certain type of material that will serve as a base for the tiles. That's the puch. The puch is like sand, which is the foundation. Avonayich. Amarbet means to spread out, to pour on the ground. The puch, your stones. And then vi sadtich basapirim, and then I will lay the foundation. I will establish you with the expensive stones, the expensive tiles, which will rest upon the puch. So the puch is the sand, the sapphire, very expensive. The sapphire will come and will rest upon the puch. That will be the expensive stones that will rest. Now, that's the simple interpretation of the pasuk. There's a very beautiful medrash. Let me read the medrash. Medrash lo nuchama. Here, the Barkali Shul is compared to an aniya sara, to a poor woman that has been tormented. Lo nuchama, and no one is able to give her comfort. What does that mean? So let's see. Let me read to you. You don't have this psik torabosi. It says as follows. Lo nuchama. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeAvram Hashem. At the time of Moshiach says to Avram, Leich v'nachem es Yerusham. Go. I want you. Excuse me. I want you to give comfort to Yerushalayim. So Shemla Mekabelis and Chumcham, because maybe Yushpaim is in a state of tsar, and I want you.
Thank you. I just took it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakom Yemivara. Holach Avram V'Yom Avram, when he said Kabli Mimeni Tanchumen, go and be with Kabel Tanchumen. Amar Lo, so Yushpaim says, Heach Akabel Mechot Tanchumen Sha'asitzani Kehar. Avraham, you're not the one to speak. You have insulted me. You called Zion a mountain. A mountain? That's what you refer to me? Yerushalayim is a holy city. V'har Hashem Yeroeh. Hashem, Avraham said about Yerushalayim, it's called a mountain. So Yerushalayim rejected the Nechama of Avraham. Yitzchak, you go give the Nechama to Yerushalayim. Shema Tein, Mikabalas, Tanachumim, maybe it will accept from you. Holach Yitzchak, V'yamar, Amr lo knows, Yerushalayim says, Eich Tamcha, Tanachum, Shiyotzimcha, Eitzof HaRosha, V'asso'ani Kisode. Yitzchak, you're the father of Esav, and Esav destroyed Yerushalayim Edom and turned it into a sode. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basode. Okay, then the marriage goes further. Yaakov, Hashem says to Yaakov, you go try to give the chomer to Yerushalayim. Lech v'nachem Yerushalayim cholach Yaakov, and Yerushalayim says no. Heach akab b'chot anachum shesamti kiloi hayisi, you said I don't exist. Ein ze kiim beis alukim. You use the expression, an insulting expression, that this makom is ein zeh, it's nothing, even though he used it in a positive form. You have to be very careful what you say, because even though you try to say something nice, in the process of saying something nice, you can say something which is insulting. So being that Yaakov said about the basis about Yerushalayim, ein zeh ki im beis elokim, but he used the nasty expression that this is nothing, ein zeh, this is not, nothing place.
Maybe a backhanded.
Okay, that's a little bit difficult. Now Hashem says to Moshe, you go give it the Chama. So Moshe says, so it says no. The Yerushalayim says, Moshe, you insulted us. You said about us, Mizeirav Uluchumi Resh, is going to be swollen from hunger and sicknesses of Reshef, which means that's the Daf Yom 2 days, we either Yisurim or demons. So since Moshe Rabbeinu in his Toichacha, he said about Yerushalayim that the people that live there are going to suffer greatly. Moshe, you not want to speak. So basically, everyone that tried to give Yerushalayim Nechama, Yerushalayim rejects their attempt. Avraham, how dare you come and give me Nechama? You call me, you insult me, you call me a mountain. Yitzchak, you call me a field. Yaakov, you said, Ein Zeh, this is a nothing place. Moshe, you cursed us. You cursed me. So I'm not willing to accept Nechama. And that's what the pasuk here means. Aniya Sara lo Nechama. She refused to accept comfort from all of the great people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked to go and try to appease Yerushalayim. So Hashem says, Eibazeh, if Yerushalayim will not accept Nechama from all of my children, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Hine Anochi. Hashem says, I have no choice. I will give Nechama to Yerushalayim.
Now, Yerushalayim can't refuse.
From Hashem, Yerushalayim can't refuse.
What's wrong with the mountain? The mountain is a permanent thing. There's chosim in it.
But it's a mountain. There's no holiness. It's just like a mountain of many mountains. It doesn't have. Okay, here. Yeah, it obviously has to be interpreted this marriage.
But it's child.
But as well, okay, it's okay, he nailed us, but here the pasuk goes on to say, Hashem says, I will go and I will pave you with beautiful stones. Your foundation will be sapirim. Sapirim is a medrash that explains the stone that is indestructible.
Isn't this a little bit like Eicha?
Is this like Eicha?
I mean, a little bit, because
well, this is a Nechama.
Yerushalayim is so desolate.
Yes, in Nechama. But this is Nechama. Here Hashem is, I'm going to give comfort. So here it's not a Nevuah of a promise. It's a Nevuah of Nechama. A Sapirim is a stone. The Gemara tells a Maisa where a person went to Yerushalayim, went to Rome, and wanted to buy Sapirim, sapphire, and do a lot of fakes. Okay, something which can be forged. There are different types of stones which look like sapphire, but are not really sapphire. So what is the test? The test is, it's indestructible. The person wanted to test it, so he took the sapphire, he put it on the anvil, he took his hammer, and he banged with the full might. And what happened? The anvil cracked, and the hammer broke. And the sapphire remained complete. Oh, now I know that it's authentic. This is not a fake. And that's what it says here, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that you're going to be sapphire, you're going to be indestructible. When I establish you again in the time of Mashiach, and we build the Beis HaMikdash, and we establish Yerushalayim, it's going to be an indestructible city. Tzion will be permanent forever. Pasuk Beis, V'samti kad chod shim shosayich. I'm going to make now, shim shosayich comes from the word shemesh, sun. And here he refers to the opening of the window, which means the window sill, and the posts which go around the three sides, the top, the two, like the mezuzah. And mezuzah is a term that's used for a door. Here it refers to the opening of, is there a special term for opening of a window? The opening of a window. Okay, the opening of a window is going to have a unique type of stone called kad chot. What? The frame. Okay, the window frame. Now, what appears, I'm not familiar with this, it appears is that in ancient times they would use certain types of stones for the frame that would glow. So when the sun would shine in during the daytime, like even like, you have, like these windows you have over in front of you, the windows, these type of little glass windows, they have a koach to enhance, to intensify the natural light of the sun.
Gives off heat.
Gives off heat. There's all the, today we have all these new technology, even absorbs heat and they use for electricity, but the frame for the window was made from material that would magnify the natural light of the sun and would enhance the light indoors.
Now so it's colorful. Tzivaos, tzivaos, colors.
Not beautiful colors. So kadko is a certain type of stone. I don't know if you know what the stone even is. It's a certain type of stone which magnifies the light of the shemesh, glows. So Hashem says, therefore, v'samti kad chod shim shosayich. Shim shosayich is a term, a word that refers to the frame of the windows, the shemesh. I'm going to fashion it from the stone called kad chod, which will enhance the beauty of the light inside of your dwelling place. And this, of course, is a mashal that Hashem will shine His Shechina, and the Shechina will be intensified. When it won't just be an ordinary light, it will be a light of that will radiate, will glow with an intensification, referring to the intensification of the Shechina that will appear, that will rest among Klal Yisrael at the time of Mashiach. U'she'orayich, these are your mezuzos, your doorposts will be made la'avnei ekdach. It's another type of stone. Is another type of stone which also absorbs light, also enhances light, and it's very expensive. And this will be the stone that will be the doorpost. It says over here in the Mefarshim is that it's hard to understand what this means exactly. You have a door, so like today, all of our doorposts are made from many pieces. We have a doorpost, so we have three pieces of material. There's the left post, the right post, and the top post. And you bang them all together, and you have a doorway. And onto that doorway, you attach a door. No, that's not the way it's going to be. You're going to take this one large, massive stone, humongous stone. And this stone costs a hoin ra, billions of dollars. It's avni etoch. And then you cut out, you chisel out in the middle of the stone the opening. So the post is made from one piece of material. There are no seams. There are no... It's not a combination of three different pieces put together to make a doorpost and a door is attached. One massive chunk of stone is taken and you chisel out an opening to go through that post. What is the significance? I don't know. But there must obviously a shara, a gateway in Chazal is very significant. You find it in many, many, many places. Like Shar Nikanor, the Mitzorah has to go to the gate. Yeah, you find all of Chazal. Gates, Pischuli, Share
Tzedek.
What?
Basin.
You go to the gate of the city. Even here, a sale.
Every city was a walled city. And the only way you were able to get
is through the gate.
If they opened up the gate.
So I guess if the posts of the gate were made from different pieces, that was a sign of weakness. There's a lot. I don't think we today appreciate what it means a gate. Today, you know, it's a whole different type of world. But physically, in ancient times, a gate was very significant. And in Chazal, in its symbolic meaning, the metaphor of a gate is also very, very deep. And that's why here there's a very great emphasis. In the time of Mashiach, the gate is going to be very, very special. It must be fashioned from the most expensive stone and from one piece of stone, not from a combination of different pieces, not from different pieces being put together, glued together to form a gate. Even I'll give you the asar here. Person that's here on his head, on his body, with a sin. But we know that there's no difference in the Torah between a sin and a shin. There's a mesur, how you pronounce it. But they are exactly the same. A sin and a shin. So Seir, the sin, with the Tzere, is the same exact letters as Sha'ar. What is the connection between a Seir and a Sha'ar? Because a here is a gateway to the inside of the body. A hair, scientifically they say that a hair is hollow. Are you familiar with that?
No.
That if you take a hair under a microscope,
yes,
it's like a tube. Mm-hmm. It's a tube. It's not
filaments inside. There's filaments inside the hair. It's hollow with filaments.
But it is hollow. But there is a certain degree of hollow. So that means that if you really would go down, it's like a tunnel into where does the hair go? Goes all the way down in under the skin. It penetrates the basar. And if it's hollow, that means it's a tube. It's a tube that takes you, it's a gateway into your body. So that's why a Seir has the same letters as Sha'ar. Every hair on your body is a gateway to the inner side of your body. Okay, then that obviously has a lot of significance when it comes to a Mitzvah, has to shave off all of his hair, all of the gates, tunnels have to be closed. He has to have start again, but here we have just something to keep in mind. Ush orayich la avnei ektach. Special stones are going to be used to form the gates. V'chol givuleich, and all of your boundaries will have the avnei chefetz. All of your boundaries will be filled with precious stones. And what's the purpose of these precious stones? It's not clear. It'll be used for building materials. It will be used for sapanasa, that the Bnei Israel will be able to pick up these stones and be able to sell them in the market and be able to support themselves and not have to worry about parnasa. So the bottom line is over here we have three different things in this pasuk. There's special stones for the window frame, and there are special stones for the door frame, and there are special stones all over the gevulayich, all over your boundaries, and especially when you go back to the previous pasuk that the foundation, the pavement, the four stones, the pavement of your shrine is going to be with puch and sapirin. Obviously, yeah.
You know, it's funny. Could it be that Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying in Golos, the idea of the Jews flaunting his wealth is not exactly a good meaning. Flaunting his wealth.
Yeah.
Here, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, when Shiach comes, in a sense, look at what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. I'm going to give you all this wealth, sapphires. And it's not as if.
Well, in Echlami, that's not Golos. It's Yerushalayim. And it's not necessarily... What?
Is that a contrast between Golos and between the Gula when Yerushalayim...
Meaning, saying, why in the Gula, why don't we live with in modest means? It's good for the Neshama to be modest. I don't know the answer. Yes, a very good question.
Golos is wrong, but keep telling me, don't flaunt your wealth.
In Golos, certainly you should flaunt your wealth. That's a given, but you're saying, how does that fit in with in time of Mashiach? Yes, a very good question. Why is it different? Because living modestly is good for the neshama, and that's what it's all focused on in Musa Mashiach. So why are we concerned? I don't know the answer, but you just know that we had Yeshai going all the way back that it mentioned there that time of Mashiach, also other psukim, that a land that can produce enormous wealth will be abandoned. No one will be interested in money. People will only be interested in spirituality. So land, beautiful lands that have resource that can produce enormous wealth will be l'shomer v'shayis, will grow fallow, thorns and thistles. Because people will not be interested in material wealth. They will only be interested in ruchnius, and they're not going to bother wasting their time on that. So, but over here it says there will be enormous wealth. Maybe this pasuk is symbolic. I don't know the answer. I just want to point out precious stones. By the way, what is a stone? Even is three letters. Aleph, Beis, Nun. It's symbolic of a relationship between, that's why it fits perfectly. The next thing, won't limit a few moments, I wanted the important to get to this, is children. Because what is a father? Av. Aleph, Beis. What is a child? A child is Ben. Beis, Nun. Ben. Okay, Obas. Okay, fine. But Ben is also a term that sometimes can refer to children. So Av and Ben, when you take Av, Aleph Beis, and Beis Nun, and they overlap, because the common letter between the father, Av, and Ben is the letter Beis. Right? Av, Ben. So when you combine the father with the son, what do you get? Evan. Evan is a symbol for the relationship between father, all generations, Av or Ben. The Torah was given on Luchos Avonim. Why was it given Luchos Avonim? V'hoidatem livonecha, v'livnei vonecha, yoi ma'asher amadu l'lfnei Hashem elokecha b'choyreif. Think about it. Why does he give the Torah on the Luchos? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah on a piece of parchment? Right? Hashem will come out, and Moshe comes to Shemayim, he comes out of Shemayim, and he has a scroll, he has a Sefer Torah, and you'll tell me, okay, you want to make sure it'll last forever, so he'll give it on some type of exotic creature that we never heard of, like we have the unicorns, all these exotic creatures, that the heart, the parchment will never deteriorate. Why did Hashem give the Torah on Luchos, tablets of Avonim? Because the whole purpose of the Torah is the Mesorah, to go from generation to generation. And Evan captures this theme, Aleph, Beis, Beis, Nun. They merge with the common letter, the Beis, Evan. And here, that's what we're telling us over here on this pasuk over here, that Yemos HaMashiach is going to be here we're describing what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, all about stones, all different types of stones, because Tam Mashiach, we're going to capitalize, we're going to magnify this idea of what the Torah was given to us of. And indeed, that's what Smamish going to say in 2 minutes. V'chol b'nayich l'mudei Hashem. Famous pasuk. What? That's Smamish right now. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'chol b'nayich. All of your children will be l'mudei Hashem. Will be students. L'mudei is a very unique term. Yeah, you have that. Yeshaya. B'yom pasuk tzor teuda chasoim Torah b'limudoi. Go and impart. Etch Torah into your students. Limudai students. And there they quote the pasuk here, and here they quote the pasuk there. Limudai Hashem means a student. There's a word Talmud, and there's a word Limud. The word Limud is a more powerful, it's a more powerful word. A student means, you know, he comes to share. He comes, he listens, a good, a Limud is a groupie.
Well.
It's like, you know, a student worships, you know, the people, you know, who the people like Elvis fans, like, you know, Elvis. The Elvis groupies. You ever see the Elvis groupies? They're like, yeah, you don't know this before your time, huh?
To be Lamud means to be
accomplished,
habituated.
Habituated. Very excellent. Lamud means it's habituated. Rogel, something that you always do. It's a more intense word to describe a student, a deeply loyal student. Like, you know, you see such things, certain, like, whatever the Rebbe said, my Rebbe, in a certain way, it's not, people don't like it because it's not healthy. You have to. The goal of a Rebbe is to have the students stand on their own feet. You give them over, and now you make a decision. They always say, Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, they used to ask him the Paskin Halacha. He would say, no, you Paskin the Halacha. That was his derech. I taught you everything that I know, and he Paskin many things, there's no question about it. But he wanted the Talmidim, you stand on your own. I've given you the tools. You now have the yicholes to decide for yourself what you feel is right. I also have my my feelings, but I don't want to overstep my role. By Hasidim, they don't go for that approach. Hasidus, it's not whatever the Rebbe says. That's one of the most fundamental difference between a true Litvisha Mahalich and a true Hasidisha Mahalich. Today we live in a world of mishmash where it's a little of both. You don't really have by the Litvisha Olam.
The Yeshivish is the same way.
What?
The deification of.
That's what I'm saying. Today it's a falsification. Today it's not true. It's not a true Yeshivish world. A lot of the things that happen in the Yeshivish world are borrowed from the Hasidisha world. And this is one example. In a real Litvisha world, the Rebbeim would encourage more the Talmidim to decide on their own. You decide. I'm telling this is my mahal, but what I do does not necessarily mean you have to follow this way. You might be different. I am Panim Torah. There are many approaches to Torah. I mean, there are certain basic principles you can't deviate, but not everyone is exactly the same. Chassidim, Chas V'Shalom. Whatever the Rebbe says, that's how it goes. There's no room for creativity. There's no room for any... Right.
But in the Gemara terms, for example, Rabbi Elizabeth Harkonnen, he said, I never would say something I never heard from a Rebbe. Shammai. So you have different views. He wouldn't say something new. I remember reading that Talmud. He was one of the Tanas that he didn't hear.
Okay, and there are different in Echanam. There's has to be a balance. There has to be a balance in the Hasidic world. The balance leans more to whatever the Rebbe says.
What you're saying
in the true Litvisha world today, I told you it's corrupted. Today it's not the way it used to be. Today, whatever my Rebbe says, whatever. Yes, 100%, and that's acknowledged. They dress like. It's a different world today, and by the Hasidim also, it's not like that's it used right. to be. They've also borrowed a lot of things from the Litvisha world. We live today; everything has just blended together. We all take from one another, and it's that's the way we live today. That's the melting pot. What is America? America is the ultimate melting pot, and just like it's a melting pot for the Umos HaOlam, it's a melting pot for Yiddishkeit to a certain degree. Everyone takes a little bit from each other. You go into any shul and flapush, you'll find in any shul and flapush, you'll find all walks of life. All walks of life. That's how. Okay, the rav and the shul have a certain flavor, but who comes in davens? No one's going to withhold. You'll find the people wearing a strimal, and you'll find people with no hat, all different types of yarmulkes, all different types of dress. That's how it is. That's the way the world is today. But that's what you want to point out, limud and talmud. And you call the chosid a limud, and you would call the student of a rashiv, you would call the Talmud. It's not 100%, of course. But here the pasuk includes v'chol b'naych, all of your children are limudei Hashem, are students of Hashem. It's a beautiful term. V'rav, and there's v'rav shalom, and there's great peace b'naych for your children. So first you have the famous chazal. The famous chazal is Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Olam Shenemar V'chol Bonaich Limudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom Bonaich Al Tikri Bonaich. Don't read it Bonaich Hello Bonaich Builders. It's Drasha. Don't read it. Two comments to build. So to build, they build peace. You build peace by being Limudei Hashem, by being students of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talmidei Chachamim, they are students of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they build peace in this world. That's what's supposed to be. Okay, that's famous Chazal. But here, I just want to again point out that this Pasuk Yud Gimel is the conclusion of our five stones. Is the Puch, the Sapirim, the Kad Kod, and the Ekdoch and Avnei Chefetz. Five different types of stones, and what's the end? V'chol bonayich lemudei Hashem, children. Because Evan is Av Ben. That's why these two psukim merge and blend together. Okay, Pasuk Yud Dalid, Bitztaka Tikonani. So there are two different approaches to this Pasuk. Either it's a command or it's a statement. Let's learn first as a statement. Bitztakati konani. Maybe this part is you will be established. It's a statement. You will be established with righteousness. When Mashiach comes, there will be a very intense degree of tzedek in Eretz Yisrael. Everything will be just. No corruption. Everything is fair and square. Everything is lefnei mishur hadin. That's what's going to be. Rachakim e'oshek. You will be distant, it's a statement, according to this interpretation, from oshek. Now, oshek is a very powerful word. Oshek means theft. It's used differently all over. Oshek means, I don't even know how to translate, because it's used differently, so many different ways. It means oppression, theft, extortion. It's used more extortion. But that's not really how it's used over here.
Schwab says injustice.
Injustice. It says it's a more very, 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 that's a very joke. Because obviously the peers did that. He knows the sensitivity to this word in this context. It's a very difficult word to translate because it's used differently in many different places. But I guess overall you would say injustice. It's most commonly used to refer to extortion. Extortion is... Hey, we'll get to Rashi in a moment. Where you force a person to part with his property. Person has, you give me, I'm paying you. Well, you can't complain. You outsmart the system. I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do wrong? I paid you market value. I paid you $100,000 for whatever I'm trying to. But I don't want to sell it. Don't you understand? It's mine. I don't want to part. This is a... this is precious to me. I don't care. I want it. I'm going to take it away. And so that I look nice from newspapers. Everything is fine. Kosher v'yosher. On record, I've paid you what you rightfully should receive. That's wrong. Because that's even in a way that's even worse than theft. Because when you steal something from someone, there's justice. I've been robbed. We go to court. The court will go and they'll take up my case. But when you've been paid, and the only thing is, but I don't want this to happen, what are you going to do? In the system of law, he outsmarted you. But it was wrong. That is called oshek. That's extortion. Extortion, it doesn't really describe exactly what we're trying to bring out, but it's harm that is done that is on a higher level that is cannot be corrected by a system of justice. It's something which is given over to the hearts of man. You know it's wrong and it should not be done, and even though you can get away with it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's really in your mind, what's really right and what's really wrong.
You know why it's called a plaintiff?
What?
You know why it's called a plaintiff?
Plaintiff?
In court, it's a plaintiff.
But that's what it's called in court?
Yeah, plaintiff is the
Yoisha.
Plaintiff is the one who complaint.
Yeah. Complaint,
plaintiff means that the plaintiff made a complaint. See, there's a plain person because the defendant is the guy that outsmarted him. So he's going to outsmart him in prison too.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's why it's called plaintiff.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
He's commanding.
Okay, that's how the Barbanel. There's a very long Rashi which he quotes the Barbanel. A Barbanel, that's what it appears to be. I don't know how that got in here. Maybe I'm just not.
She's quoting the Barbanel.
Doesn't make sense. I don't know.
A Barbanel was inserted.
It was inserted into the Rashi by a printer.
Look like 300-400 years after.
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's not the Bar. Maybe there's something else. I have to look into that. What exactly that means there in the Rashi? But it appears that maybe it's the editor, in order to elaborate on the Perush, he inserted some additional Perush. That's one approach. It's a tzivui. But the similar interpretation
in the Chumash.
Yeah. It's used in the order of Schwab says. Let's go. Rav Schwab says something very interesting. He says the word oshek is related to lo sashich. Lo sashich. Do not bite. It's a different word. Lo sashich. The ayin and the shin. Okay, I'm not exactly. Rav Schwab says this word is not to bite. We have a halach of ribis. La nochri sashich hul yochicha lo sashich. Ribis. You're allowed to lend money to a non-Jew with ribis, and the way it's described is sashich means to bite. But to the Jew, a Jew, you're not allowed to bite. When you take ribis from someone, you're biting them because they have to pay back more than what they took. It's as if you bite. It's a metaphor. The Torah is a metaphor. Lo sashich. So Rav Schwab says that the word oshek is related to the word sashich. Very interesting. That's what he says. And therefore he goes further to say something which is very, very deep, which has to be understood, is that Oshek, whenever it says Oshek, it's a higher standard for Jews. In other words, Goyim, by a Goy, there's no such thing as Oshek. Because it's either it's right or it's wrong.
It's a legal standard.
It's legal right. Exactly. So by the Goyim, the Jews have a higher standard. And for Jews, there's something called Oshek. It's morally unjust. But the Goyim, they don't follow morals. I mean, they do follow to a certain degree, but they have lower standards. So this represents a description. Okay, first we're going to learn the pasuk as a description, then we'll learn it as a command. Okay, Barbanel and Rav Shram also learns as a book, but the Metzudas clearly learns this as a description of what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach. Rachakim Yoyeshek. You're going to be on a very high spiritual level where you'll be distant from doing anything in the category of Oshek, which means a very high level. Goyim is Oshek, there's nothing wrong. But among Jews, Lo Sashech, you will be good to each other. You will not cause others harm in any fashion whatsoever. And then, why? Kilo Siroi. Now, this is very difficult to the, how do you translate these words? How these fit with Rachi B'Oshek. And the way the Mitzvah says, because you'll not be afraid of poverty. It's a very, very difficult pasuk. Why do people harm others? Why do you steal? Why do people steal? It's a psychological insight. Why do people harm? Because they're afraid. They're afraid they need to survive. It's a matter of survival of the fittest. What's going to be? The person gets older, he needs parnas, he needs money, he has children, he has needs, and there's a lot of pressure. I can't survive. So what do? I got to chop a little here, chop a little here, chop a little here. Ish esreyeyu chayim below. If not for the mara, because people need, they're selfish. Or not only selfish, they're just afraid of. You won't be afraid of poverty. You won't be afraid that you'll be missing out in anything in life. Therefore, you'll have no desire to cause your friend harm by taking away from him what is rightfully due to him. That's how the Mitzvah translates. Look at the words of the Mitzvah. It's very difficult. But that's what he says. Look at the words of the Pasuk Gedalu. Rachaki me oshek, tiye miruchekes min ha'ishkim. You'll be far. It's a statement from those that oppress others. Why? Asholo tir mehem klalu klal. No, that's not the one. You won't be afraid of them at all. So that's not the Mitzvah. This was made with Rashi. Maybe I'm quoting from Rashi. Let's look in the Rashi. Rachaki me'oshek kmo hisnarm yefar tisrachi min ha'oshek. Rachaki me'oshek tirachek melashek b'nei adam. K'derech sh'oisim rishon. This is a statement. This is a command according to this parenthesis. Rishon sh'oisim mamon migezel. Avalatem lo titzrichu ligzol kilo siru here. That's I was quoting the Barbanel. You will not be afraid midalos v'anios. From poverty. So you won't have a need to take away what rightfully belongs to someone else. And then the next words of the pasuk is another very difficult expression. Mimichita. Mimichita means from terror. From instilling fear. You will not terrorize others or cause others to be afraid of you. That's also a technique. People harass other people. They terrorize other people or harass, or they instill fear because they feel threatened. If I don't intimidate this person and put him in his place, he will rise up and knock me out. He'll swallow me up. He'll cause me to lose my job. So what do? You all go overboard and you intimidate them, you terrorize them, you harass them, you torment them. No! It's a sin. It's not a sin of mammon. I didn't take away one penny from you. I just showed you, watch out. You watch out. Let me tell you who's in charge. If you don't behave yourself, I'll throw you out of here. I'll put you in your place. Umimichita, from instilling terror, or it could mean also as a statement that you will not be terrorized, causing others to be terrorized, it will not happen. Ki loy sikra velecha, this midah will not come near you. You will be on a very high spiritual level at the time of the coming of Mashiach in the new Tzion, that you will be distant from Oshek, from stealing from someone else in an immoral way, and you will be free from the sin of causing other people to be afraid of you for the wrong reason. Why? Oshek hilo sirahi, because you will not be afraid of poverty, so there will be no reason why you should take away someone else's property. And umi mechita kilo sikra velecha, I guess this can mean that the only reason why you intimidate other people is because you're afraid they're coming to attack you. When someone is coming close to you, kilo sikra velecha, when someone is stepping on your turf, so how do you respond? Watch out. You put up a defense force. I'll beat you up. I'll harm you. I'll punish you. You cause them to be afraid of you. The only reason why you cause them to be afraid of you is because they're coming close. They're trespassing. They're not going to trespass. If they're not going to trespass, kilo sikrav elecha, there'll be no need for you to intimidate them and cause them to be afraid of you. Yeah.
Questions. One, is this like adult bullying?
Yes. Bullying, yes. Gangs, yes. Exactly. Why? So why are there gangs? Because you're jealous. You're afraid they're going to come, they're going to take away from you. They're not coming to you. They're not bothering you. They're not bothering you. I have no need to bully you. There's no need for there to be umumachita for me to cause you to be to intimidate you. Why would I want to steal from you? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to be poor. I'm not afraid. There's no need for me to steal. Yeah.
This whole thing of stealing and being poor is not necessarily always true. A guy could have
greed.
A man can have $80 million.
Greed.
Steal.
Greed.
Another 10. He was in any state of poverty.
I guess that's a new that's a different level. That's a different level of theft. The basic reason why people steal is because they just don't have what to eat. They don't have what to eat, so they have no choice. They steal. Okay, there's a higher level. People have everything. Once a sickness and a shagas, mishesh leimana. It's a messiah. I have mansions, but you greed. We're dealing here with davar hashava l'chol nefesh, a type of theft that everyone unfortunately would come on to when they're very desperate. That will not happen in Moshe Mashiach. Yeah.
Is leisig noiv keneged one of the dibros on the other side?
Yes.
One second, which is it?
Is it?
Go on, give
it a yellow card. Loy Tignoiv is a noch. Wait, Loy
Tignoiv is on one side. Loy Tignoiv is on one side. Loy Tignoiv
is a connected noch. Is a no, that's Kabeid.
Loy Tignoiv is in the middle.
Take out a chumash. I don't remember.
No, Tignoiv is in the middle.
But Tignoiv is kidnapping. Loy Tignoiv is kidnapping. It's not stealing. Loy Tignoiv.
One type is it's connected.
Yeah, they're this drasha connected.
Somebody said, I forgot who, that if a person is over loy signoiv, he's also over loy yelachol, because if he had a moon and bitachon, he would realize that he's supposed to have it.
He would have it.
And an emfinyenim.
It's totally zebzeh. Lo yilcha is keneged lo tignav. Lo yilcha lochem achem is the second. The second of on the right side is keneged lo tignav. Is the second on the left side. The totally zebzeh. It's a very nice idea. Okay, we'll stop here. After pasuk tezva. Yeah. Say again.
Ah.
So there's a similarity. I see.